morning, everyone. This is Chip Littlejohn in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. It is the 15th of September, 2021, 9 o'clock Mountain Time, and we are preparing our product sizzle call for this week. And I guess I think about the general fascination that brings us together here, and I think we are fascinated with being alive and then what makes us more alive. When I try to describe what my interest in what we do together is, that's certainly one of the big benefits. My greatest interest really is in what I call the colored part of the rainbow. When you're working in network marketing, as we are, one end of the rainbow is income. The other end is product and health, when you're in this kind of a company anyway. And neither of those really defines the fascination for me, although I am interested in both. I really enjoy the colored part in between, and that's the conversations that we have together. And so just you know, the attempt to step into sharing people's lives. You know, we get to know a lot of people this way, and we get closer to each other than other people do. When somebody says, gosh, I'm not feeling well, or I've got a problem, or I've had a problem for a long time, and in the past, maybe the only thing we could do was empathize. But now it's like, okay, I've been exposed to some very interesting ideas, and maybe we can put our heads together and figure this thing out. And just an example, before the call started, Cindy raised a question about a friend who suddenly had her leg go numb. And when she went to the doc said it had something to do with constipation. Well, we play in the world of gut health and constipation, and so we should be able to figure that out, right? But for me, that was quite a jump, and so it's got my head spinning a little bit. You know, what is going on that you get so much pressure from your guts that it's starting to shut the nerves off to one leg? I mean, that's pretty drastic to me. But things that make you go, when we get together here, there are common afflictions. Certainly one of the most is I'm going to call it feel the burn. We're going to talk about muscles a little bit today, muscles and acid. And our dear buddy Neil Roth felt the burn for a long time. Neil was taking Prilosec before he arrived here. And one of the things that happened to him is one of the things that apparently is quite dependable, and that is when you start using the gut health triad, suddenly you don't seem to need proton pump inhibitors anymore. And that's another one of those things where I think, oh, gosh, our intervention for that problem is almost nuts, because here we are. We pick up some food, it makes us salivate, we chew it up, grind it up, swallow it, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but we don't have a place in our body that has like a vat of acid somewhere that then dumps into the stomach. We do have, later on, a vat of a base at the gallbladder that puts bile in and neutralizes the acid, but the stomach itself turns itself into a place where acids can be without burning us for the time that the food's in there. And it's kind of important that it's closed both ends. There's a sphincter on the top and a sphincter on the bottom. Sphincter being a special muscle that holds the opening closed. And what's going on when we get something swallowed in there, it's a bolus as it comes down in through the mouth and swallowed, comes down through the esophagus, and you got this clump of food, and it triggers the stomach to protect itself with mucus from hydrochloric acid and enzymes, which are then secreted into the stomach, and the stomach, you know, kind of like begins churning. You know, we chew things up above with our teeth and our mouth and our tongue, swallow it, peristalsis begins, start moving it down, gets passed, and now we shut off the stomach and it's in there and the acid's starting to come. Where is it coming from? coming right out of our blood. And so if that top sphincter isn't working right, and some of that gets back up there, that esophagus isn't protected. It doesn't have a way of secreting mucus to protect itself, so it burns it, literally starts burning it up like it was something that you were trying to digest. And what a miserable thing to have happen. The other thing that I worry about, and it's just thinking, okay, if we don't use the acid in our blood, we don't want to become acidic, right? If we don't use it to digest food, we just plugged up that system. Now we got all that acid still circulating out there waiting to do something that we're preventing it from doing with a pharmaceutical. Somehow it seems like that's probably not the best thing for us. And so we would think that our dear buddy Neil and all of us who are using this product line and having a better digestive experience are going to be better off long term if we are more neutral, slightly based in our overall makeup. And it seems to me like if we're not using the acid that we're making to digest our food, we're preventing it from being used in that way. That really isn't the smartest way. Wouldn't it be great if we supported things working right instead of stepping in and forcing them to not do what they're supposed to do? Just seems more logical to me. So then what happens next? Now we've got it, you know, really started to turn into chyme. It's, you know, you think about the muscles on the outside of your body, but boy, your digestive tract, that is one muscular son of a gun. You know, your jaws and your teeth and your tongue, all muscles, and then the peristalsis squeezing it down like a toothpaste through a tube, getting it down into the stomach, and then the stomach really goes to work and starts smashing and churning and acid in there, and everything's getting, you know, stirred up and made into smaller and smaller pieces. And it's interesting because we are omnivorous, maybe a little bit more of the characteristics of a plant eater than we do have of a meat eater. A meat eater has really strong stomach acid, a bigger stomach, a shorter intestinal tract, but a big stomach. And so they really lean on the acid. And I think sometimes, and this is just thinking, okay, I mean, this is, I guess, part of why we get together here is to think about these things. And your dog ages 7 times as fast as you. I wonder if it's because he has such strong acid to deal with, being a meat eater like that. I just wonder. I wonder if we get some longevity out of having a less acidic makeup. Anyway, so we make things dissolve in this acid. Now it leaves our stomach, and what happens as soon as it leaves? Then the liver secretes the bile. The gallbladder is able to keep some of that, and now we put this really, really almost clear but green, almost translucent material squirts into that chyme and neutralizes it. It wouldn't be good if it continued on acid either. So now we need to get it back to near neutral or slightly base as well, something just above 7, and that's what the bile is going to do in there. That's going to be full of enzymes as well. Enzymes all along the way, beginning in the mouth, more in the stomach, more in the, you know, coming from the liver. So we've got enzymes working along with the pH to make this food grind up and turn it into simpler and simpler pieces until it's finally nutrients and can be absorbed. And remember, our punchline is always on this call, if we're talking about the gut health triad, is that the gut health triad as a product line equals power on demand when you need it. Power on demand when you need it. When you're using this product, you should feel a couple of things, and you may not even notice. You might have to go put in some effort and do things that you can get up against, you know, how much you're able to do in order to find out that you have more power. But it should be such smooth, even power that you're able to make made a real, real short audio about this, and it's on SoundCloud, kind of introducing the gut health triad. And one of the things I really, really think is applicable here is to think about Star Trek. The brain is the bridge. That's where the captain is. The gut is the engine room. And so when the brain calls for power, either you're going to say, coming back from Scotty, she's burning up, Captain, she's leaking, you know, I can't hold her together much longer, it's starting to stink down here, we're in a lot of trouble, you can't do what you're trying to do up there, Captain. Or, and this is really the punchline of the product line, I love that stuff you've been sending me, I can make all the power you need, you go back to your troubles up there, Captain Brain. I've got this part. By the way, thank you for the support. You know, you had to go out there and find it and swallow it for me to get the benefit and for everything to be working right. That's really what we're looking for, is for things to be working right. And you kind of boil that down just a little bit and bring it to interhuman relationships. What are we looking for? One of the main things that we look for, especially females, they say, is safety and security. It's one of the things that they're evaluating in a male. Can he provide safety and security? Can I be safe and secure? Well, there's a couple of ways that happens. You know, dollars is certainly one of them on one end of the rainbow, but the other one is really health. Can we be more productive? Can we be safe in that way? Can we expect to have an indefinite amount of longevity in front of us? And that, I guess both of those things are what we work on here. Safety and security are things that we work on here. And so that fascination with being not just alive, but even more alive is what's going on. And not having to take, you know, a lot of the pharmaceutical industry income comes from things you have to take over and over and over again for the rest of your life. Prilosec can be one of those. Proton pump inhibitors, if you're burning, that can be one of them. Things that control diabetes, that could be some of them. Things that control your blood clotting time, that could be some of them. But we really want those things to be within our own capabilities. Each time one of those things go wrong, then it comes with a new doctor, a new set of prescriptions, or a new device that is replacing something that was supposed to be happening automatically within us. And so when we are working on our fascination here with being more alive, we want things to be within our control. And so our choices about, and we talk about that really, really important filter between what we choose to take from our hand and put in our body. And that's part of how we are achieving staying out of that medical system as much as we possibly can. So those are just some thoughts, and it really kind of came down to pH this morning. Remember, you want to be acid where you need to be acid in your stomach, then you want the bases to be prepared by your liver, secreted right into that, get it back to neutral, goes on down through the digestive tract, and we start, you know, breaking down the fibers and wind up making the short-chain fatty acids. And what is in the BioMyX? It's the answer to that. You jump ahead to the answer to the question, and some of the product is the short-chain fatty acids. Just you know, this is kind of a weird thing, I guess, maybe, but last time we talked, we spoke about the short-chain fatty acids having very pungent taste and odors when they're on their own. Remember, in our product, it's tributyrate. If those two of the real short-chain fatty acids, we're talking about 4 and 6 carbon chain, where it's butyric acid, propionic acid, those, they have very pungent odors. It's the smell and taste of vomit, for one, the smell and taste of body odor for the other. You think, okay, that's what's in that little clear capsule, and so I was thinking about that, and I thought, okay, I got to find out. So, you know, that capsule, that clear capsule, and the tributyrate concept are designed to hold those things together as they go down through the stomach and down in further the digestive system where they would normally be completely bathed. But I just had to find out, so I chewed one up just to find out. And it's clear, it's tasteless, that gel cap is designed to make the trip, through the stomach. And so it's a fairly thick gel cap. It's kind of like the time for how deep do the depth charge go before it's released. And it was interesting to know that by being combined together with the glycerol, the tributate complex, then it changes the taste and the smell of those things. It disappears. It becomes clear and tasteless as a complex of, three short chain fatty acids and the glycerol. So that's kind of, I don't know if you get a kick out of that stuff or not, but I had to know. I just had to fight it and find out. Turns out, really interesting and neat. So I hope right this second you have some of those products in you working for you, that you have the Happy Humol antioxidants in you, you have the Happy Tides, all those great fibers in you, and probably even swallowed some of the coffee, which gives you a buzz. That one is a zippy power. It's going to set you to vibrate a little bit. If you don't prefer, the effect of caffeine that's in the coffee product and the Happy Caps product, that smooth, clear, long-lasting power made in your digestive system as it's intended to be made without a little bit of a kicker to it is really what that triad is about. If you want to get a little zip and you're going to go do something and you need to perk yourself up, Robbie and Sam were on truck driving across America most every time and they're with us today, and he said he's using those to help him stay awake. It's not easy to face that highway. I mean, for a little while, yeah, but all kinds of crazy things happen and you have to be attentive all the time and it wears you down. And this is one of the things he's using, the Happy Coffee and Happy Tides, to keep him perky when he's starting to fade. So those are different products that we have in our group. That's what I have for us for this morning. And I wonder if there's anybody. I did appreciate Dave kind of giving a little advertisement for that 6-minute introduction to this three product grouping, the Happy Gut Health Triad that we have. And so if you haven't run into that on SoundCloud yet, we put a little effort into that one, and both of us spoke a bit, kind of hear how Dave and I talk when we talk about such things together when you get into that one. And we did it in such a way that real quickly you could introduce this product grouping to somebody. So that's what we got. Anybody want to add to, take us a different direction this morning?
Chip, are you there?
I got you. It sounds like Thing.
That's me, brother. That's me.
What's up?
So, since you brought it up, I'm going to add to it as well. You know, you're talking about anti-inflammatory drugs, PPIs, things of that nature, what they do, how they affect us. again, reading this book, it's a huge eye-opener. Anyhow, the fascinating thing of it is I happened to come across an article, and this is very, very... dare I say medical, but because of the fact that this book is written by a doctor, because it does list a great deal of alterations that cause specific diseases later on in life. But anyhow, on page 37 of the book, it says modern healthcare drugs and your microbiota. But if I may be permitted, I'd like to just read a little bit to help bring the idea of what we're doing to ourselves, whether we do or don't think about it. But anyhow, simple paragraph says, it comes as no surprise that antibiotics absolutely decimate the gut microbiota. Just 5 days, ciprofloxacin wipes out about a third of the gut bacteria, and your gut microbiota are never quite the same. Most species recover within 4 weeks, but some are still absent after 6 weeks. In the case of clarithromycin or metronidazole, the effects are still evident 4 years after treatment. and just 4 days of three broad-spectrum antibiotics can permanently destroy 9 beneficial species of bacteria. The results of these antibiotics is a new normal microbiome with more antibiotic-resistant microbes that leave us vulnerable to infection, allergic conditions, osteoporosis, and obesity. It continues on by stating that 269 million antibiotic prescription medications are issued in the United States each year. But even more so, of course, we know antibiotics, anti meaning against, and biotic meaning life. So if you think about antibiotic, that basically means life destroyers, if you will. We know about antibiotics being very, very detrimental. But even more so, there's a spot in here that says non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen and naproxen alter the gut microbiota, destroy the intestinal lining to create ulcers, and predispose to inflammatory bowel disease and microscopic colitis. Oral contraceptives have been associated with the development of both Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis as well. So, you know, Chip, the thing that boggles my mind is that we're on a huge mission here. I'm not even a third of the way through this book, and just the things that I'm learning are the fact that there's a reason why it's called SAD as an acronym, the Standard American Diet. We're killing ourselves because of the fact that we don't know. It's lack of education. It's been said so many times before, the king of currency is knowledge. What do? We share the knowledge to those that want to know. We've got a phenomenal opportunity, both financially, but more importantly, physically. Because if we're not here to help other people, what are we here for?
Bane, what's the title of your book?
It's called Fiber Fuel. Excuse me, Fiber Fueled. Yeah, the author is Will Bulsiewicz, I think is his last name pronunciation. I don't know. It's spelled Bulsiewicz. The book is a compilation of 20 years of gastroenterology's research that's gone into the writing of this book. But it perfectly illustrates and goes hand in hand with everything that we're doing with the gut health triad. Backs up everything 100%.
You know, a lot of these things are hard to remember. I'm going to help you a little bit with the, you're never going to forget who wrote Fiber Fueled again, because you just could easily say that, you know, how difficult that is to pronounce, but it's going to sound almost like bullshit. It's going to be Bolshewitz, something like that. So Fiber Fueled is written by Will Bolshewitz. If you just remember bullshit, you're going to get close enough that you can probably find it. And what an appropriate name, because it's a gut health type of thing. And you think about all these things that where the microbiome gets beat up, and we do spy-counter-spy with the antibiotics and the probiotics, and they're constantly, you know, the things that are fighting us, making us sick, are constantly mutating to try to find a way to hurt us again. And the two ones that have the upper hand right now are C. diff and MRSA. So Clostridium difficile and methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus are the ones that are resistant to the antibiotics we have. And it's a reason to, you know, we use it in our livestock so much that now it's ubiquitous in our soils and our food to have antibiotics. It's very difficult to avoid them. And I kind of really think it's interesting what we've come to for an intervention when things are unhealthy like that, and nothing's working to get someone reestablished and get them going again with a healthy microbiota. And I would bet, just because of who you are, that most of the people on this the intestinal contents, the feces, from a healthy person with their microbiota in it and introduce it into the person who is desperately trying to reestablish theirs. And actually, on the upper crusty world, that's a big thing these days is fecal transplants and people seeking to get some of the attributes of their healthier neighbors. And I thought when I first came across that a couple of years ago, I found my new career. I could be a fecal transplant donor. And then I found out that it's not quite that simple. What they want is hopefully somebody from the same family living in the same place, someone who is quite similar to you, only they're healthy. That's who they're looking for to contribute to their microbiome back to you because it's going to maybe be more appropriate for you. And I suspect I really, really have to start reading Fiberfuels because Thane is going to run off and leave me here pretty quick. I love what you're bringing to the call, Thane. Thank you so much for adding to it today and other days.
Absolutely.
And Cindy, for your question ahead of time, yes.
The fecal, sorry to interrupt, but anyways, the fecal transplant process is actually discussed in the book as well. But
I figured
it talks about human and mice doing the fecal transplant processes and their glowing reviews of how well it works.
Yeah. It's smart.
Hi.
You know, repulsive but smart. Who we got there? Somebody's chiming in.
Yeah, this is Hannah from Salem. I had a wonderful woman in my life who was in her 80s who she didn't have MRSA. She had the other one that happens a lot, a great deal with individuals. And they gave her
C. diff, probably.
Huh?
C. diff.
CIFA or, yes.
C-D-I-F, it's Clostridium difficile.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Exactly. So they had given her so many antibiotics, her system was breaking down. And Leahy Clinic here in Burlington, they wanted to do a fecal transplant on her, on Mary, and she didn't have any family. So she didn't ask me. I just said, Mary, I would love to do this for you because I feel like I'm your adopted daughter. So they used mine. Of course, I was on redox molecules, so I had the best fecals that anybody would want. And it was a very easy process, a lot of testing. But once I was approved, Mary went in and we did the fecal transplant and I took her back to her assisted living that night. I have to tell you, the warfare that was going on in her stomach, in her system was so loud. You could just see what the fecal transplant was doing in her body. And until she died 3 years later, she never had another antibiotic.
Wow. Thank you so much for adding to the call. Hannah, H-A-N-A.
H-A-N-N-A-H, a palindrome.
Oh, okay, I got
you.
Thank you so much. What a wonderful story.
Yes, and I think it's something that Leahy Clinic is really trying to get it to come back versus Harvard is trying to do the capsules, the fecal capsules. So
okay.
I hope that helps other people.
Well, so, you know, live your lives, folks. We're about to end our call. But live your lives so that if somebody was looking for a fecal transplant donor, they would choose you. If they were looking for an organ donor, they would choose you. I know that the gathering that comes here, a lot of us are, it sounded like our contributors were younger, but a lot of us are on a trip from 70 to 90, and we're setting out to do that better than we've seen others do it. That's part of what we're doing. And if you can have the attributes that would make you, at this age, I guess maybe admired by your people around you, the woman in your life finds you to still be safe, secure, likely to be able to continue being healthy and take care of her, or if you're a woman, to take care of your family. Those are attributes that we're looking for. We want to have attributes of a younger, healthier organism. Those are the kind of things that we're seeking here together. And I don't claim to say that we have all the answers, but we sure have a lot of questions and a lot of thoughts. And I really appreciate everybody, coming to the call, joining in, and that was our call for today. Thank you so much for the participation, Robin and Sam, for your comments ahead of time, Cindy and Thane, for your preparation every week, and Hannah, your story was perfect. Thank you so much for telling. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.